Welcome to the Maggie Williams Podcast, where we discuss hunting, travel, and outdoor adventures. Proudly sponsored by Rolling Thunder Game Calls, the sound of a new generation. Brought to you by Heavy Shot, industry leaders in shot shell ammunition innovation. I didn't come this far to miss. Lost Hat Company. Ask your other hat company what choke you should shoot. Get lost. And Ridgemark Retrievers, the trusted experts behind Kate's gun dog training. Find your mark.
What's going on, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Maggie Williams Podcast. Tonight, I am live from Illinois, and I'm joined by a very special guest. I have had the opportunity to hunt and enjoy camp with Miss Nicole Taylor. How are you, Nicole?
I am so good. I'm so excited to be on here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. So, for those of you who do not know Nicole, she is one of the few women in the country that I can relate to on such a sincere, deep basis because of the fact that she has a pageant background and she is a hunter, which has been just so much fun to enjoy hunting with her. It's been great fellowship. It's not been great weather in the turkey woods, but I think tomorrow it's going to get right.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So, Nicole, where have you turkey hunted so far this year?
Oh, goodness. I went to Kentucky. We did not kill, but we also only had like 2 days. I was planning on doing a really exciting turkey tour this year, but I went on a whim and I decided to do a pageant and I won it in January. So that kind of put everything on hold.
I understand. Yeah.
So this is kind of my first time finally getting out and enjoying the best time of the year.
I totally can see how a pageant schedule will get in the way of hunting. And that is quite frankly the reason I don't think I will ever compete again. I am officially retired. But there's a lot of good that comes from pageants. They are so much fun. And I love what you're doing. So my platform in pageants, for anyone that doesn't know, I was at Miss Arkansas Teen USA in 2019. And I was a huge advocate for female participation in hunting and female involvement in waterfowl. Tell me a little bit about what you're promoting on your way to Miss Illinois.
Yes, so I hold a local title in the Miss America organization. I am Miss Quincy, and I'm competing for Miss Illinois in June. But with the Miss America organization, you get a community service initiative, and mine is called Pretty Precision, Education and Empowerment for Women in the Outdoors. I kind of branded it to be a little more versatile for anyone and everyone. I mean, personally, I love hunting, but every single girl might not love that. So I kind of branded it towards everything in the outdoors. That could mean hiking, fishing, hunting, you name it. We're going to teach it and we're going to empower women to do it.
I really love that perspective on the outdoors are awesome, whether you're a hunter or not. Applaud you for even, like, taking note of that avenue. Very cool.
It was definitely a big step to step into. I had a lot of doubt going into it, but it's really exceeded my expectations, more so with the hunting community. You know, telling a bunch of, you know, old conservationist guys that I've been volunteering with for years that, hey, I'm going to do a pageant and I'm going to talk about conservation and hunting and getting everyone involved in the outdoors. I'm like, oh, they are not going to understand this. They are like my biggest fans. They are gung-ho all about it. And that just, it makes my world. So
whenever I was competing, I had way more support from the hunting community than I ever did from the pageant community.
Yeah, same.
It was awesome to have people that are passionate about the same thing rally behind you. And a lot of folks in the pageant industry were very, I don't want to say industry, I mean, it's just
community.
In the pageant community, essentially, were very standoffish about the whole hunting agenda that I had to speak on. And I mean, it was hard because at Miss Teen USA, there were girls that were advocating for PETA. I mean, sincerely, like, that was what they were rooting for. Yeah. And they just could never see eye to eye on what I was talking about and why it was so important. So, it's really awesome to have the complete opposite end of the spectrum support you.
Yeah, it's really cool on the pageant side, too, just because my favorite part of competing in pageants is just spreading advocacy. I would say that's the whole reason why I do it, and that's the whole reason why I love it, but it's getting a completely different target audience into the outdoors that they might not ever have the opportunity to do that. And a lot of girls are really interested in it. Once I open up to them and tell them stories, they're like, this sounds pretty fun, actually.
I have actually converted a vegan to a hunter. It was a little pageant girly out west. She saw that I was passionate about hunting. She wanted to try it, took her hunting. She loved it, had the best time ever. She tried wild game for the first time. She loved duck meat. It was a great experience, but it is so cool because you realize, like, you think you're teaching, you know, a lot of the hunting community about pageants, but essentially you're teaching the pageant community about hunting.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to watch you have the same experience and convert more girls as well, and I think that is fabulous.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for that. And I also want to hear the story behind why you chose this platform.
Okay, so this was my very first pageant ever. I decided to do it, and I ran with it, and I won the dang thing, and here I am.
There you are.
Like, a year ago, I probably had the same knowledge of pageantry as everyone else. I really had no clue. But I actually used to be a bow technician, which I think we'll get into. But one day, it was last summer, I was working on a guy's bow, and he brought his daughter in with him, and you know, I'm just doing a simple tune-up, and the little girl is just, like, locked in on what I'm doing, and it's adorable. And so I'm just talking with her. I'm like, oh, are you going to go hunting with your dad this fall? And before she could even respond, I mean, like, her face lights up, and her dad goes, women don't hunt, just to my face and to her face. And the look on her face is still something that, like, it really bugged me, and it made me so mad that day. And I was like, I need to do something. Like, I don't want another girl to ever hear those words again. So I just started researching, and I'm just like, Miss Quincy, the past Miss Quincy, I mean, she was so impactful. Shout out Shelby. She's awesome. And I'm like, she's making this huge difference with pageantry. I'm like, I can do that. I'm just going to do it. So I messaged her, and literally the rest is history. And I've just been fighting the cause ever since.
I love that, and that is such a great cause to fight. And I'll tell you this, I've had so many people, I've made videos on TikTok about it, about how there are so many men out there that say women do not belong in hunting.
Yeah.
There are young men, old men, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, that stigma is very real. And yeah, people will say on TikTok, oh, you know, that's all for content, those are lies. That happens. I've encountered at least one person every year of my life since I was a very young woman first getting involved in hunting as a child. It happens all the time.
It does. And that's not to say that every single guy in the outdoors is horrible. I mean, like, there's some men that are phenomenal mentors that really build women up. I mean, it's not to trash men, but it's also to point the finger at the guys who still need to kind of wake up and get back to reality and, you know, kind of just let us enjoy it too.
Oh, there are literally, I mean, there are probably 6 men in my life that have invested more in me as a hunter than anyone else in the world. They've mm-hmm. been very impactful. They taught me everything I know about the outdoors, my daddy included. I've got lots of great male friends that help me. I mean, it is definitely a small percentage of the hunting community that shares its perspective, but it's real and it's out there. But yeah, no, the majority of the hunting community, I will say, is very accepting. As I've gotten older, it has gotten way more inclusive, which I've loved to see unfold as I have grown up. But yeah, no, it's relevant. It happens. I love that story because you lived it. You know,
yeah.
It is very real. So thanks for bringing awareness to that. Mm-hmm. But you talked about being a bow technician. How did you get involved working on bows? I've never even met a female bow tech. Like, I'm not an archer by any means. I was on the high school archery team back in the day, but I mean, I've just never been a big bow hunter because, I mean, that's early bow season, I can be shooting teal. And then during the rut, I can be shooting ducks. So that's just never lined up for me. But let me hear about your story as a bow tech.
Okay. Well, I want to preface it by kind of just explaining my whole background. So I think my community and where I grew up, it's a whole different culture, I would say. Like, you know, you grew up in the duck woods and that was your life.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I grew up in Brown County, which is the Golden Triangle of Illinois. It's some of the best deer hunting in the entire country. So it was just kind of, it's what I grew up around. It was just kind of normal. Like, I just knew so many people that bow hunted. So I'm just like, I want to get a bow whenever I was pretty young. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with understanding every single aspect of the bow. And then when I got old enough to get a job, I'm like, oh, I'm going to apply to my local pro shop. And I applied, and I remember checking the box of what I wanted to work in. And I'm like, bow department? Heck yes, I love bow hunting. And I ended up convincing the manager at the pro shop. I'm like, please just give me a chance. Like, I'll work so much harder and I'll learn. I'll do everything. And I did it. And I'm really grateful for the experience. I learned a lot, met a lot of cool people, but also met a lot of challenges. I mean, just a daily basis, people would call the pro shop, be like, hey, can I speak to the archery department? And then I'd answer the phone. I'm like, hello, this is the archery department. And they're like, no, I want to talk to a bow technician.
And
just,
you're like,
yeah, just because they could hear a female voice. I'm like,
this
hello?
Is her. This is her.
Yeah, I mean, just stuff like that on a daily basis. And like people coming in and you wanting to just do your job like a normal human, and they refuse to let you touch their bow just because you're a woman.
Oh, my favorite thing. I that is very relatable on a different note. Whenever a few years ago, I went into a duck call shop, and I was at the call counter, and let me rephrase this, because it wasn't a call shop, it was an outdoor store. There's only a few duck call shops in the state of Arkansas. I don't want them to get confused, because they will think it's R&T, and it's not. That is very relatable on a different note. I think it's so hilarious how these avenues are just very symmetrical in mm-hmm. different ways. A few years ago, I went to an outdoor store, walked up to the duck call counter, was looking for calls, and they're like, yeah, does your dad send you in for one, like your boyfriend? Like, did
no.
not think it was for me. And this is pre-COVID, so you were actually able to go in and blow on the calls. And so I'd be like, oh, let me look at this one. And got it out and just ripped on it, and they freaked out. I mean, just did not think at all that was, you know, even possible. So I can definitely see how that would be a hurdle and a challenge to work in a bow shop, because it's one thing to be a consumer and be like, hey, I've got a bow, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a girl with a bow. No, you're the girl working on the bow.
Yeah, it was really hard. Thankfully, I have this mindset of, if somebody tells me I can't, I'll just do it 10 times harder. Like, I refuse to give up. And to me, it was, you know, I can get 100 guys who trash talk me just because I'm a woman and they don't really know my capabilities. But if I get that one girl who would walk into the pro shop and it'd be just like a sigh of relief whenever she saw me working, and she understood that, you know, I understand the exact same things and the wants and the different aspects of bow hunting and archery whenever it comes to a woman's bow. And that just makes it all worth it, honestly.
That is awesome. And I also want to talk about your new job. This is so cool.
Yeah.
I've heard something very similar. Sportsman's Camp is just a week-long event in Calhoun, Louisiana at Camp Chioka. It's put on by the Duck Commander guys, and this is the first I've ever heard of anything like this. Thought it was so cool. And literally, I was thinking, like, man, I wish it was more than just a summer camp. Because I'll be working there this summer. I'm very excited. But I was like, this is incredible. And then you told me about what you're doing. Holy smokes, it is perfect. So
yeah.
Tell me more about Gardener's Camp, because that's essentially exactly what it is.
Yeah, okay. So I just quit my pro shop, which I'm so sad about, because I love that place. But for, you know, better and bigger things, I just got a job at Gardener Camp, which, to explain it in the best ability, it is a outdoor recreation camp for youth specifically. It's a whole nonprofit that was left in a trust by a gentleman named Jack Gardner. He had this duck camp that he would go and hunt on, and once he passed, he left it in a trust, and he specified that he wanted this land and he wanted this money to go towards basically a youth hunting camp. And the community around us turned it into just that. And thankfully, I got a job there. So I'm their assistant director now. So I basically get to say I teach kids how to hunt for a living, which is a dream. But we do all kinds of stuff. Like right now we have archery camp, we have astronomy club, deer hunting, obviously duck hunting, goose hunting. We just started doing pheasant hunting. We work directly with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. So we do a lot of banding, and we're a duck rehabilitation center. I mean, all of the coolest things ever. And it's so surreal because I never thought I would have this opportunity literally at 19 years old, but it's just a dream. It's really a dream.
I think that is so cool. And this is not just any location. I mean, this is like prime real estate, Mississippi River bottoms,
yeah,
that you're getting to have access to, you know, give these kids opportunities to learn. That is phenomenal.
Yeah. And every kid who goes there, they don't pay a dime, which is even better. And we really try to get kids involved who don't have the opportunities, because that's a real thing in Illinois. There's kind of a lack of public land like there would be in like Arkansas. We don't really have a lot of public land, and you know, we understand that kids might not have mentors. They might not grow up in hunting families, but they should still get every opportunity to experience what it's like to hunt or what it's like to be in the outdoors. So we try really hard to get those kind of kids out there.
I think that is awesome. And this is a year-long camp, correct?
Yeah, yep. There's always something going on, like, every week.
That's awesome. And I love that you mentioned that most kids do not have mentors. That is so true, and we need to talk about it. Recently, I made a TikTok video, and it went pretty viral, and it was about hunter education courses. And I just stated that I truly believe that they should no longer be offered online. They need to be mandatory in the school system. And I'm telling you, I had so many people support it, but I had just as many argue that if you have hunting experience, you know, if you, you know, can testify that you've been hunting, you should not have to take a hunter's education course. I found that to be so crazy because, you know, saying, oh, it's our land. You know, if it's your land, you don't need a hunter's ed card, and you shouldn't have to have the government dictate whether or not you should hunt. And I found that to be such a wild perspective, because the truth is most kids do not have mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have one, you have just a kind of a rose-colored glasses perspective that, oh, man, I've had a mentor, blah, blah, blah. Every kid's grandpa takes them hunting. Well, that's not true.
Right.
There are very, very few people that have mentors, and even fewer that have valuable mentors. I mean, for every person that's teaching you something good, there's someone out there teaching someone else something that's, you know, not valuable or legal information, you know? So I would love to hear your take on that, because I think I read something about that in your information sheet.
Yeah, so a fun fact about me is that I actually teach hunter safety courses in Illinois. I love it. I love volunteering. That's one of my favorite things to do, just specifically with kids. So this makes this new job, like, absolutely perfect. But, yeah, I actually teach hunter safety courses, and the information that they get is it's just next level. We try to be as hands-on as possible, just because, you know, sitting in a classroom setting for 8 hours on a weekend, kids are not going to pay attention whenever you're just blabbing on stage. But whenever you actually get hands-on with them and you're telling them stories about, oh, well, this one time I was hunting and XYZ happened, and why was this wrong, and why was this dangerous, and why did this happen? You know, getting them involved in that sense and actually showing them, you know, firearms or bows or just different aspects of the hunting safety is so valuable that you can't teach it online. And that's my biggest concern. You know, I'm all for hunting and I love it. I really want to push the next generation of conservationists and the next generation of hunters, but you have to do it in the right way, because if we do it in the wrong way, there's really, it's just going to go in a wrong direction for the future of hunting and the future of conservation. So really the youth is our focus, and I wish more people would understand that. And that's also one of my goals, God willing, if I win Miss Illinois, is to push for hunter safety courses to be an optional course in our school districts throughout Illinois. I think that would be such a great opportunity.
I wish it'd be mandatory. I really do. I think if you could teach kids, just make it a requirement. I mean, it could be in ag classes, whatever, driver's ed, health. I mean, I feel like hunter's education is a lot more valuable than health. I hate to say that, but I mean, sincerely.
Yeah.
I mean, we jogged laps around a gymnasium in health class. I mean, just like you do in PE, everything else. And I know it's different in every state, but I mean, hunter's education is something that,
it's so important.
Every person needs to know.
And I'll tell you what, I came from a little tiny town. I graduated with, oh goodness, probably 30 kids, but we had deer day off. We are such a deer hunting community that the first day of opening season, no one has school.
That's amazing.
But we still don't have a hunter safety course in our school district. That's just, I don't know, it just, I can't wrap my brain around it.
What I have seen so often, and I talked about this in the video, now that it is available online, I know so many people that have had it taken for them by someone else.
That's just wrong.
That is so not cool. I mean, I know people in passing from multiple states. You know, boyfriends will do it for their girlfriends. Girlfriends do it for their boyfriends. It goes both ways. But I just think that the more we let that slide, the more opportunity there is to do that, the more hunting accidents there are going to be. In Mississippi this year, I know there's obviously a lot of accidents everywhere in the country with the whole scoot and shoot, but this was aside from that. There was a guy in Mississippi that was literally just sitting down on a tree, was getting up from a spot, and someone saw him moving through the brush, shot at him. He shot at him at 40 yards. Obviously sent him to the hospital. Thankfully, he wasn't shooting TSS. But regardless, I mean, he had to pick out pellets from his back and arm.
Wow.
And I mean, his vest obviously stopped some of that. It was a padded back vest. But it's just, it's crazy, because I mean, there's already, someone was hospitalized in Florida over it. There's just, there's way too many hunting accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, if these folks took it in person, why the heck would you let anyone take it online? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, geez Louise, it's sad, but I'm very passionate about that, just because of the fact that this is a very valuable and very limited resource.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of wild game. I mean, obviously, I'm very passionate about ducks and wild turkey, and you're very passionate about, you know, turkey and deer. But no matter what game you're talking about, it needs to be protected, and there are, you know, rules in place for a reason. But just like the game, the responsible hunters need to be protected as well. And if it's, you know, we can't make it a danger for other people to get out in the woods. So I love that you are a hunter's education instructor. I've actually never met a female that was a hunter's education instructor.
Yeah, a fun fact, the first year I did it, I got so many little girls to do it that half our class was girls. So that was awesome.
That is incredible. Yeah. I think that is so cool. Good for you, Nicole. I just think you're just the coolest girl.
Thank you.
I love it. That's fabulous. So, you obviously being from Illinois, we've talked about, or actually, no, I'm going to cut that out. So, since you're a turkey hunter, I'm a turkey hunter, and you are a hunter why can I not say education? What the heck? I want to say instructor in education. I'm going to cut that out. Okay. So, we're both turkey hunters. Okay, take eight. So, we're both turkey hunters, and you are a hunter education instructor. Let's talk about this. I'm so passionate about this. Things that new turkey hunters need to know. Because this is, I did not realize until this year. I don't know. You don't know unless you're taught. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many kids I've been around this year who don't know how to walk in the woods, were never taught. What are some things that you think all turkey hunters need to know?
I think this is really versatile for any kind of hunting, is you're never going to know it all. That's literally my favorite part about hunting, and my favorite part about the outdoors is no matter how long I've been doing it, no matter how many mornings I go out, I learn something every single time. And any true hunter would agree with that.
Absolutely.
So getting somebody who's new, soak it all in, because you're always going to learn something. And ask questions. I mean, if you have a really good mentor, no question is a dumb question. And you don't have to start out with the best of the best. That's a real one. You do not have to start out with the nicest shotgun or the nicest bow, or, you know, all Sitka camo. You do not have to. Go to Walmart, get you some cheap camo, start out with a cheap bow. It'll make you appreciate it a lot more. And one more thing is, turkey hunting is not for the weak. It points out your flaws. It's hard. It is a chase. They call it a chase for a reason. It's not easy, but that's the point, is Maggie and I are in Illinois, and the weather's not permitting, and, you know, turkeys are on the neighbors, and they're not working, but those are my favorite hunts, because they make you appreciate the actual harvest so much more, because you really have to work for it.
Well, and I love that you said that, because the truth of the matter is, we are never supposed to outsmart a wild turkey, genuinely. I mean, the ability to be able to trick one into thinking that you are a wild turkey, I mean, that's unbelievable. That is the ultimate achievement. And so to have success at that is fabulous. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people that think, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to kill a turkey every day I hunt. Absolutely not. I mean, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Turkeys deserve to win. It's good to let them win. You know, I love it. I just have a whole lot of respect for the bird and the sport, and
They'll teach you a whole lot.
You think, yeah.
They pick out your flaws, and honestly, sometimes mistakes are good.
You learn from them.
You really do. I mean, my best learning lessons have been from my gun clicking or forgetting something that I really need, because I guarantee you I will make sure until the day I die that it's
you have
perfect.
It.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That is true. Man, no, I told Nicole, I said, whenever I go to camp, Chioka, for sportsman's camp, I told Nicole, I'm going to take these kids to the woods and just make them walk around on leaves and teach them how to walk, because...
That's so smart.
I said, you need to do this at dadgum gardener camp. Yeah,
start
kids.
With the basics, they'll start, the true basics.
I mean, it has to be done, because I just didn't know. Nicole, I was so impressed with Nicole's woodsmanship. I just didn't know what to expect. Never hunted with her before. She carries herself so well in the woods. She's got awesome awareness.
Thank you.
You've got really good woodsmanship. And Dalton does as well. I mean, just really good turkey hunters to be around, which I love. And it's not something I always get to do. I love taking new hunters. But, man, folks, if you are a new turkey hunter, walk on your heels. Keep your knees bent and walk on your heels. There is no need to snap every twig on the way down. And that is just...
Like a little pet peeve of yours.
It's like not even a pet. I mean, it's just a peeve. It's just a peeve at this point. It used to be a pet peeve, and it's just... y'all spoiled me being here in Illinois with you guys. We crept in early this morning, and we were silent. And it was just so nice. I just didn't have to worry. I could just kind of relax and just know, like, man, we're going to be discreet. Because you're with the program. That just, I was spoiled. You are well trained. And I was just so impressed. It is hard to impress me. You really have outdone yourself.
Thank you.
So, I mean, just always listening, always looking. She's got it down pat. But I wanted to talk to you about social media and hunting. Do you think it has hurt hunting or helped hunting, and why?
Ooh. I think it's helped it in a sense. I try to really center my social media, who I follow, what I like, with stuff that genuinely helps me. I don't like the side of social media of where cyberbullying can be a thing, where people just trash talk and, oh, they did this wrong, and, oh, well, that deer is so small because I shot this big deer and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't center myself around that. I try to center myself around true hunters and conservation and positivity. That's my best opinion. So I try to stay out of the dark side of hunting.
Absolutely.
So for me, it benefits it. I have a small platform, but I've been able to talk about what I'm really passionate about through it and reach different people and, you know, try to just help people along the way with tips and tricks and talking about things that I really care about that without social media, I wouldn't have access to do that. So I really think it's a benefit, but it's all about how you use it. And also a lot of people who have a platform and have a following, it's about how you use it.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people are trendsetters and you have a lot of people who watch what you do, who look up to you, even if you don't realize it. A
lot of responsibility there.
So, you know, being careful about what you post, what you're passionate about, you know, how much, if you're a hunter, how much you care about conservation and how much you care about doing the right thing and educating people and all of those things. That's your role. To me, that's your responsibility. If you have a platform, that's your responsibility.
I totally agree. If you are given a voice, you need to be very mindful with how you choose to use it. And I think hunting has been really improved by social media. I think obviously social media is a double-edged sword. As it is with every hobby, not just hunting, of course. I mean, there are obviously going to be negativity that you would never encounter otherwise just because the internet makes people so accessible. But at the same time, there's a lot of young girls out there that are watching that would otherwise never see a woman in camouflage.
Absolutely.
I mean, so it's powerful. It's awesome. I'm a huge advocate for social media. And one thing I think is fabulous is there are so many resources out there. I mean, there's almost no excuse for, you know, not having a mentor. It's hard. But if you truly want to get involved, the information is out there. And there are so many people that are putting out quality content that you can learn from. One of my favorite turkey hunting channels to learn from on YouTube is the Venhody Project. Dave puts out awesome stuff. It's great to watch. But there's a lot of great people out there that are just doing, let me say this, they're doing good for the sport in many ways. So,
And it's really blown up in the recent years. I mean, granted, I didn't really grow up with social media. Thankfully, I'm really glad I grew up in the time I did. But
we're like in the last generation didn't have social media as children.
It's so weird, but I didn't really. I always say this about like pageantry and platforms and all that stuff is I didn't have a role model growing up, really.
Right.
I mean, there was Eva Shockey, and that's pretty well it for
Eva Shockey was it.
Literally it. And I didn't have a role model to really look up to. So I always say that, well, I didn't have one, so I created my own for the next generation.
Facts. That is I love that. That is a powerful take because the exact same thing. I loved Eva. She put out some great stuff. She's a great role model. All my listeners, they know I really admire Eva. I had her on the podcast. She's a rock star. But I'd never... She was the only girl I knew in hunting, period. She's a bad-to-the-bone archer. I mean, she's just very, very talented with a bow. But, I mean, she's not a duck hunter.
Right. You didn't have anyone.
I did not know a single girl that duck hunted. I mean, I met another woman that could blow a duck call when I was 16 years old. I mean, I could drive. I'd been duck hunting for 6 years by then.
Yeah. I mean, women still have a lot to go, but it just makes me so happy the resources that they have now. Like, I don't know about you, but I remember growing up and going into, I don't know, like a Bass Pro and trying to find camo that fit me and just feeling so uncomfortable that there was no stuff for women, and it literally upset me so much. I mean, imagine like a preteen girl trying to find women's camo and you can't find it. I mean, just stuff like that. It's really irking, and to see it now, it just makes me so proud and fulfilled.
It has been a lot of growth, but you're kind of in the same boat. You're a taller girl. I'm just a little bit taller than Nicole, but we're both, 5'8", 5'9", which is a blessing because growing up, I could always wear the boys' clothes fine because I was just as tall as the boys. So that never really bothered me. But man, whenever I was like 15, 14, 15, 16, any picture you see of me duck hunting, which there wasn't very many because we just didn't think to even take them. And, you know, we duck hunt in the timber. A lot of times we were scared to take our phones out there. I mean, I was literally able to drive before I could take my phone out in the duck woods because my dad wouldn't, you know, that'd be a bad deal if I dropped my phone in the water. So I just didn't ever take it. You know, I didn't need it. But if you see a picture of me from that time period, you will see that I'm probably wearing men's breathable waders and bottomland. They're my dad's backup pair because I would put holes through mine. I just couldn't take care of anything. And those breathable ones, you can poke a hole through them so easy. But I'd be wearing the men's stout waders and a men's extra large jacket. And I was warm, but like, I looked like a marshmallow. I mean, sincerely, there was just no girl stuff out there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, my perspective on the thing is I do not want women's clothing. I want unisex clothing that fits. Let me say that again. I don't know why I have a freaking speech impediment tonight. I do not want women's hunting clothing. I want unisex clothing that fits.
Yeah.
I mean, I want the same quality that the men have. I don't want anything pink, frilly. that's one thing I love about Shin. Well, I love a lot of things about Shin, but they make waders that have a very wide size range. I mean, you can get them custom to fit you. They've got, you know, extra, extra small too. I don't even know how big they go up, but I mean, different heights. And they could go very small in shoe sizes, which unfortunately I've never needed because I've got really big feet. But it's nice that you can get clothing that's the exact same thing as men that just fits you.
And I'll tell you what, to tie this back to pageantry, my onstage question for Miss Quincy was actually kind of about that.
Ooh.
It was something along the lines, which I hate that I don't remember it, but it was about how I felt about Blaze Pink becoming popular. And blaze pink is actually now legal to wear. So, for example, deer hunting, you know, you have to wear your orange whenever you're gun hunting. You can now wear blaze pink. And I circled the question around, you know, blaze pink is a win for women to make it legal because it's giving us representation. But what's more important is women's clothing that actually fits, that they're actually caring about us, not just taking basically a youth model and slapping pink or teal on it and calling it good.
Yeah, that makes me sick. I hate that. I hate that so much. And I'm very outspoken about that. I just, it's just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I feel like taking clothing, giving me a youth model and just making it pink and little girly logo. I mean, that's kind of
degrading.
It's very offensive to me. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I literally, all I want is men's clothing that fits my legs and waist.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
But, I mean, it's came a long way. I think that's fabulous. But I also wanted to ask you, let's see. So, you are a deer hunter. I'd love to talk about deer hunting just because it is something that I am just not very involved in. I've killed deer, but it's never been my thing. So you're a bow hunter. Tell me about kind of this process that you killed a pretty big deer last year. How big was he?
It was right around 140, which
a bruiser.
I'm happy with it. Yeah, it's not the biggest deer, but you know, truthfully, I'm proud of it. So
I mean, Nicole, I think I'd be proud of a 140-inch deer.
I'm so proud of it. I don't care what people say. I've gotten comments, kind of like the, you know, toxic social media we've gotten. I've gotten comments like, oh, well, that's barely a legal deer for guiding and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, I killed bigger deer. That does not matter. You know, I worked my butt off for this deer. And
he's a stud. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge deer.
But like I said, I grew up in a really big deer hunting community. It's all people do. People come from all over the country to my tiny little small town and small county just to deer hunt. So I always felt really blessed to be able to do it. And, you know, I'm blessed to have the land that my family's had for generations. I mean, so, so blessed. It's my favorite place on earth. That's really good deer hunting. But I always say I do not have the personality of a deer hunter because I am very go, go, go. Like, I want to be always doing something. So climbing up into a deer stand and just sitting there and not doing anything is so hard for me. Mm-hmm. So it really tests me, but it tests me in a good way. I think that's why it took me a few years to kill my first really big deer, because I can be kind of impatient. But totally it teaches understand. You a lot of life lessons. So, yeah.
Well, I hate to deer hunt turkeys. I mean, I love to just run around. Run and gun. I always want to chase one. Yeah. So, I struggle sitting in a deer stand. So, I totally understand that. But it's kind of funny how your hobbies will change your personality.
It really does.
I mean, I was with a pageant background, you're going to be outgoing, you're going to be talkative. But the more time I spend turkey hunting, the more I keep to myself, the quieter I get. Like, I do not have to, you know, lead a conversation in every room I'm in. I can just kind of be quiet and listen.
You don't have no Yelp anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, just no Yelp, just silence. I've become much more observant, and I feel like, why can I not speak English? What the heck? Have you noticed this?
No, you're fine.
Do I have a speech impediment?
No, I think you're fine.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I've just become much more observant, for sure. But it changes you, and I think it's really cool to see how that affects you and how you grow as a human. Pretty cool.
It is really cool. It gets you out of your comfort zone, too. I grew up mainly deer hunting, just because that's all my family's ever done. But, you know, growing up and experiencing more, like, waterfowl hunting and turkey hunting, it really does change your perspective. It changes how you hunt, how you appreciate nature so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I love that you've gotten involved in duck hunting, obviously. I mean, you're a girl from my own heart. Were you duck hunting in Illinois?
Yeah, I duck hunted a lot in Illinois.
Okay.
We're a part of the Mississippi Flyway, so I'm like west central Illinois, so right along the river.
Yeah, girl.
Yep. But I've traveled a little bit duck hunting, just because that's my favorite part about waterfowl hunting, is it really is a social sport.
Yes.
I really, really like that. For me personally, I think duck hunting and goose hunting is the easiest sort of hunting to get somebody who is new introduced into hunting, because you can still talk to them, you can still do all of the things.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I always say, because I always try to get more girls involved and just more people in general who have never really done it involved. And I always say you need to go waterfowl hunting for your first time.
Absolutely. I mean, you get to hang out with dogs. If you're really lucky, you get to hang out with a dog as cute as mine. Miss Barkinsall. It's just, I love working the dog. I love blowing my duck call. I love running in a boat.
And snacks. You don't get the snacks whenever you're deer hunting and stuff like that, because they can hear you.
The whole scent-free thing, that could not, I couldn't.
It's so odd. It's odd. You think, well, granted, turkeys do really point out your worst flaws, but sometimes deer hunting's worse.
Oh, yeah. No, just, I have got a lot of hair. I'm not going to change my shampoo and conditioner for deer season. Like, that's just not, that is not for me. I'd rather just go.
Deer hunting, I will say, this is one thing I don't like about deer hunting, is it can be so expensive. I think it's really just the culture kind of getting out of hand, in my opinion. But it takes so much money nowadays to have a well-managed farm, have the best of the best tree stands and blinds, and have the best guns and the best bows and the best camo.
I think it's just the economy.
That too. But it blows my mind the amount of money people spend just on deer hunting.
Yeah. I mean, well, right now, the price for a John boat to go duck hunting is absolutely insane. It is laughable. It is. It makes me sick to my stomach. So, I think that's just all realms of hunting right now. Hunting's expensive.
TSS. Oof. You don't want to miss with those.
No, but man, I've had a lot of luck. I shot heavy 18 this year. And I love heavy shot all duck season. I shot a lot in the past, but I have had so much luck with heavy 18. You shoot a Franke Affinity 2. I should say as well. They're technically Affinity 3s.
Mine is Affinity 3.
Yeah, it was just a 3-inch gun. That's what the 3 stands for. But I'm going to rephrase that because I don't want to say it. There's no such thing as Franke Affinity 2, but I meant as well.
You're like, oh, okay.
I meant as well.
I'm like, wait, huh?
Yeah, no. So, let me take a freaking drink. So, I shoot a Franke Affinity. You do as well. I love mine. I actually recently took it to Rob Roberts in Batesville. I don't know if you're familiar, but he is an angel. He is a very nice, funny, just knowledgeable, good to be around human being. And so he tricked out my gun, and that was fabulous. But we got to pattern a heavy 18, and it was because he's got this computerized analysis of the shot pattern. If you ever get the chance, you need to do it because it was so cool to see how my gun was patterned. They obviously zeroed in my red dot for me and got it just to be mint. But
Maggie, I ought to tell you before you came, my gun was not sighted in.
Oh no!
And we sighted it in with paper plates.
Okay, I have a confession to make too. Until I took my gun to Rob in the past, I've had other red dot rigs. Little turkey guns, but I've been wanting this Affinity, could not get one in stock anywhere, but when I finally got one, I was like, I'm just going to buy a whole new red dot, and my old gun could be my backup, which I don't want to use anymore, because I freaking love that pistol grip, but anyway, until I took my gun to Rob, I literally just checked my pattern, because I'd put a little red apple on top of a fence at my parents' house, because it's like like a turkey head.
Yeah.
And so, if I could shoot the apple at 40 yards, I was like, well,
you're ready to rock and roll.
It's patterned, folks. It's patterned great. And I just check out and see if the apple was demolished or not.
Oh, my goodness.
So, the paper plates, I respect.
No, it's all right. We didn't have anything else. So, we're like, we're making this work.
You totally understand. I was in Oklahoma last year, and I dropped my gun. And I just knew my red dot was going to be off. So, one of my friends took a piece of paper, drew a turkey head on it, and we stuck it in a hay bale with a straw of hay because we couldn't attach it with anything else. Anyway, I mean, by the time you shoot it, it flies off the hay bale. I mean, it's just a mess. So I get that completely.
Yeah.
It was nice to just let someone else worry about the logistics of it. But yeah, I've been really happy with my Affinity. I'm excited. I shot one in Kentucky with it, and it's been great. And that's true. You shoot one for a duck gun as well, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not that advanced yet. I just got one, so I have to take the red dot off, but...
Oh, so you just bam, bam.
Yeah, I call it good. I can be a bougie girl sometimes, but I can also be pretty simple where I'm just like, hey, I got what I got, and I need what I need. Like, one is good enough for me. It'll do the job of both.
I respect that. I really do. Having a designated turkey gun is so nice.
I need to do that.
You really should, but... I can relate, but I will invest in my hunting equipment all day long, but like in myself, I could not tell you the last time I spent a dollar at Lululemon. Like I've worn the same pants for the last week. I got to wash them here. Thank you for the running water.
You're welcome.
But like, I'm low maintenance, but my hunting habit is not.
That's all right.
That's priorities.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Priorities. So, Nicole, is there any fun, crazy, like, what's a story that you just want to tell?
Oh, goodness.
I just kind of put you on the spot. We've got, like, probably 15-ish minutes to wrap this up.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can cut this out, obviously, because I'm just narrating. Is there anything, like, you want to talk about? Any, like, avenues you want to go down?
Maybe a little bit more, like, pageantry, but, like, not too much.
Okay, let me just go to this. So, circling back, I do want to know a little bit more about Miss Illinois. When is the competition?
So, the competition is June 10th through the 15th. I'll be there that entire week. Finals night is the 15th, so all of the world will figure out who the next Miss Illinois is June 15th. So, I'm really excited, but it's also something completely new for me. I never even thought I'd do this. Looking back, when I told my family and my friends, like, hey, I'm doing a pageant, they looked at me like I had two heads. So going to a state pageant is really, really nuts, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited to just share what I'm passionate about to just different people.
What part of competition are you most looking forward to?
I really like interview, just because I've never had, like, a mock interview or someone who's judging ever been a hunter. And I really like talking about hunting with people who have never been, because it's a whole different perspective. And they ask so many questions I would never think about. But I also really like evening gown, just because I can just show my personality there, and it's really fun.
I always loved interview, and I thought it was so funny because there would be girls that hate interview. And you know, I mean, I've seen girls walk out of interview room crying.
And I just talk to them like they're a normal person, because that's exactly what they are. Like, I'm just having a conversation with them.
I just love to talk.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, now I interview people once a week and get to talk about it, but it was just so much fun. I always enjoyed it, and it was really, like you said, it's just connecting with people that you otherwise would have never crossed paths with. Getting to sit down and talk with them and share your heart with them is very intimate. It really is. I mean, you don't know their background, and they know a lot about you.
Yeah.
That's intimidating, but it is so fun, truly.
Yeah.
So, the girls that love interview, they're the ones to look out for, folks.
Yeah.
They got it going on. I think it's fabulous.
I will ask you a question, because you're a pageant girl, too. You're retired, but you were a pageant girl.
Oh, I was in it. Hit me with it.
What is the best, I guess, life lesson and learning experience that has carried you throughout your life that you've gained through pageants?
I will tell you this. Pageantry gave me grit. It made me a lot tougher than I ever would have imagined. And I know people are thinking, like, what in the heck? I mean, I was a duck hunter before I was a pageant girl. You would have thought I would have been as tough as I needed to be. But it's a very competitive environment. It's very high-paced. And I think it prepared me to be successful as a professional. In any avenue of business, you know, for what I do, it's just been fabulous. It's gave me people skills. Just the ability to be prompt. It taught me so much about life, myself, just really prepared me for the real world. And I was a teen contestant, obviously. So that was just very valuable life experience I wouldn't have had otherwise, being from a little small town. But man, you know, it really broadened my horizons. I got to see a lot of the world that I wouldn't have ever seen, and met so many wonderful people. I mean, last year, I went to Colorado to kill a turkey, and I stayed with Miss Colorado Teen USA. I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she was from my class, obviously. She was the current title holder, but we were really close in the lineup because Arkansas and Colorado. And so we got rated together. We had a lot of fun. And years later, I mean, I'm crashing at her house and killing a turkey down the road.
Love that.
I mean, so the connections you gain are so valuable. It is a really neat experience, and very few people will ever understand the weight of the opportunity. But if you make the most of it, girl, it'll change your life, and that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
You've been given this opportunity, and I love to see you utilize it. I mean, you're very passionate, you're very involved, and you're going to be doing great things. I think it's fabulous.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you would like to know? I would love to answer any questions you may have for about pageantry or hunting, anything.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Did you ever experience any kind of hate with other pageant girls about your platform and openly talking about hunting?
Ooh, I'm glad you brought this up. I don't think I ever spoke about this. There was a couple of girls from northern states. I'm not gonna name which ones, obviously, but I had some girls that would literally pick on me from I had some girls that would pick on me about my accent to the point that it was like it wasn't teasing anymore, like it was just mean, and that you could tell, like, they meant it, but they'd laugh it off. And it was not girls in my directorship. Like, obviously, the Van Bros girls, we were all very tight. And, like, they could joke about my accent. Like, they were my friends, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's one thing to be your friend, but it's one thing to be someone in passing that just kind of picks at you. And anyway, I had some girls that just kind of mocked me and, like, mocked hunting and just thought I was just a joke. And anyway, it was just, that was common. And I went to speech lessons for the way I spoke. I had to learn how to enunciate without an accent. That was very stigmatized when I was competing. And I think it may be getting a little better now. But even after speech lessons, I still had girls picking on me for my accent. And that was just a very eye-opening experience. I mean, I was modeling before, and I had a girl. I think that one thing about pageants is you are introduced to people of all different backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I go to public school, I hunt public land, but I've always been so blessed. And so I've always been grateful, and I just thought I lived this great life. I didn't think it could get any better. And I thought I was doing well. You know, I mean, I duck hunted. I always had a boat to hunt in. I mean, I always had a shotgun that would shoot. You know, I had semi-automatic shotguns right out the gate, you know? I mean,
bougie.
I was bougie. I mean, I was lucky. I had a dog. I mean, I didn't have to get my own ducks or nothing. I mean, I was living. And I had a girl tell me that I was white trash before. Like, the craziest thing. Just because, I mean, I am from a low-income state. I did go to public school. And, like, these girls had never been around folks that lived in the real world.
Wow.
And so it's funny now because I get to travel and I have this wonderful career that pageantry really prepared me for, but like they frowned on hunting. They thought it was just country, trashy. I mean, just really, really frowned upon my lifestyle and just could not imagine. But I mean, I'm proud of who I am and where I'm from, and yeah. I love what I do. So, I mean, you can knock it if you want, but I'm happy, you know?
Love it or hate it, it's who you are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very thankful for where I'm at right now, so I wouldn't change it for a thing. But, yeah, there are some catty pageant girls. But I'll tell you this, there are some hateful people that hunt, too. So, yeah, you got to take...
You'll always have them.
There's good and there's bad. You got to take the good with the bad and everything.
Yeah. Thankfully, I have not experienced anything like that, but... Hopefully I won't. So far, the girls have been great, but yeah, that's crazy.
I will say that the Miss America system seems to have a closer community than Miss USA contestants, just because there are preliminary competitions. So you have a lot more opportunity to get to know the girls that you are competing against, and there's just a little bit more of a sisterhood there.
Yeah, and they really try to push that. I guess rebrands of the whole Miss America type of thing is the 4 points of the crown, and one of the points is actually sisterhood, because they try to harp so bad on really creating lifelong bonds.
Aww,
which I love
that's sweet.
It's really true, and I love it. So
I was meant to compete in the USA system. That's just obviously just what fit me the best, but I do think that Miss America is very valuable.
I think you ought to compete.
Oh, I'm retired. I'm done.
You got a little duck call for your talent.
Yeah.
Pull the dust off your evening gown. No. Ready to rock and roll.
I'm out. They'd have to tell me if I had an appearance in November and it was duck season, I just wouldn't be there.
You're like, I'm sorry. I'm gone for the next 8 months. Because after duck season, turkey season.
Yeah. I'd lose the crown pretty quick nowadays. But... No, I think it's cool that you're part of the country's biggest scholarship organization for women.
Yeah, it's been a life-changing opportunity, and I've only really been in it for a few months, but like that job I was talking about, this amazing job that is just perfect for me. I wouldn't have that job if it wasn't for pageantry and doing this pageant. Like, the Miss Quincy program, it gave me a voice to talk about what I'm passionate about. Like, I always say, you know, I'm a hunter, but I'm a conservationist first. That's what I've always been passionate about. And being able to have a voice to talk about that kind of stuff, it gave me the recognition, and it gave me, I guess, the platform and the pedestal for people like who run Gardner Camp to see, oh my goodness, there's this girl and she's doing great things. And one thing led to another, and they wanted me to work there, and I interviewed, and I had good interview skills from the Miss America opportunity that I got the dang job. And that that's what it sets you up for. So I love all of it.
Love that. And that is very true. It just equips you with the life skills you need to succeed.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what system you do and what avenue is right for you, it's a great preparation for women to hit the real world. So fabulous. I love that.
Yeah.
And before we hop off of here, is there anything that you wish you knew as a young hunter that you want to tell others?
I really wish I knew that it's okay not to know things. You know, you're never going to know everything. And I talked about that before, but personally, from getting into different things, I always felt bad. And I always felt, I guess less of myself. And that might have been because I was, I guess, the minority of the group and I was a girl. And
it's intimidating.
I felt shy to ask questions, but just ask them. I mean, and I wish more people were kind of like us, and so many great people were welcoming to new people and were never judgy. I feel like a lot of people can be really judgy for people who are starting it first off of, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing, or they don't know what they're talking about. This is their first year doing this. Well, it's okay.
Nobody wakes up knowing how to hunt. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, that's the truth, genuinely. I mean, everyone is taught, or everyone has learned in some form or fashion. So I love that you're very welcoming to beginners, because truly, I mean, we were all beginner once. I'm an open book. I will tell anyone anything they want to know. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, I mean, I'm kind of, I try to be mindful because I am a little bit of a bossy girl. So
yeah, but you also have to teach them the right way. In my eyes, you know, these people that we're teaching, they're really the future of hunting. They're the future of the industry. They're the future of pretty well everything. You have to teach them the right way, and you have to make them understand why we do the things that we do, you know, why we do it ethically, why we do things during this time of the season, why we spend so much money, you know, contributing to conservation, all these things. It's
why we don't hunt fall turkeys. That's a controversial take.
Why we don't hunt fall turkeys, why we don't reap turkeys, all these things, we don't do them.
Controversial takes, but yeah.
It's a big no-no in the cabin right now.
Oh, it's one thing. It's really cool to be around turkey hunters, but it's really, really cool to be around turkey hunters that turkey hunt like you.
Thank you.
So it's been so much fun in Illinois, but me and Nicole are about to go to bed because
we gotta get up bright and early.
We gotta get up bright and early. I know a problem. We did not have our killing music on.
Yeah, so that's a thing I informed Miss Maggie on. This is kind of a tradition in our hunting cabin. You have to have good killing music when you're driving to, like, for us it's, you know, the deer stand, but right now it's, you know, the turkey woods. Whenever you hop in that car and some, you know, the radio turns on if you have a beater car and it doesn't have Bluetooth, which is a lot of times for us, but you gotta stay humble. But like, if it's Bluetooth and it random shuffles, if it's a bad song, it's going to be a bad hunt. If it's a good song, it's killing music.
I'm telling you. So Cody Jinx, I'm a huge Cody Jinx fan.
Wait, hold on. I think I know our killing music. So I like keep up with you. Miami.
Oh, I forgot about Miami. Miami is not a killing song. That was a golf tournament song.
No, I think that's killing music.
Oh, I mean, it can't be tomorrow.
It's going to be.
I am so superstitious in the weirdest ways. But, like, Hippies and Cowboys, the alt take, it cannot be the original version, by Cody Jinks. That is the luckiest song. That song has prepared more things for the end than anything else. I don't know why, but that it works.
Interesting. And you are superstitious, though. I've heard so many random things in the woods with Maggie. She's, like, the first thing, like, we sit down, like, the first day hunting, and a bald eagle flies by, and she's like, "That's good luck, Nicole."
That's true.
Like, every time I see a bald eagle, I kill a turkey.
Yeah, they're lucky.
And just random stuff like that. She's been saying it all week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, pro tip. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Hard candy. You will not run out of breath walking if you have hard candy in your mouth. So I've got like Jolly Ranchers, Butterscotch, you name it. Jolly Ranchers melt too fast, but you can just keep, you know, one tucked in one side of your mouth and then a yelper on the other. And when it's time to yelp, you just, you know.
Give him that caw caw.
Yeah, just hit him with that chaw chaw. That chaw chaw slide. No, hit him with a Yankee candle because they're going to get the smoke. No. But yeah, also, look at this hat. This hat needs to be thrown away.
That probably smells, Maggie.
It does. So I've got this, y'all know my hat. I've got this tan, or I mean, it's green Spring Legion hat. It is disgusting on the inside. It is stained with sweat. It is discolored. I mean, the mesh is literally coming apart, but it's
well used.
The luck is still there.
Okay.
I have a new one that's just like this.
Didn't you have lucky socks or something last year? Or like you ran holes in your socks last year, I remember seeing.
Yeah, so I was not very prepared last year for my turkey tour. Like I thought I was. I wasn't. And so I just did not pack enough socks. But at the same time, I had some old cheap socks I've been wearing and I killed a turkey in them. And I was like, okay. Well, for some reason, I was not presented with the opportunity to wash them that night. So I just, you know, put them on the same next day. I didn't have any of the clean ones. So I just wore the ones I wore the day before. The very next day, I killed another turkey. And I was like, oh, it's on. And so that's the only thing that had been consistent because I'd, you know, been changing everything else, all my clothes. So I wore those socks for a killing streak. And anyway, long story short, these socks had holes in them, in the toes, like obnoxious holes. Like it was not comfortable. But until these socks were unwearable, I wore them and killed some turkeys in these socks. I mean, I probably killed 4 or 5 turkeys in these socks last year. I mean, it went well.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, also, this is another superstition, the turkey feather. Do you ever pick up turkey feathers whenever you're hunting? Like, if you see one on the ground, you pick it up?
Yeah, I do. Well, when I was little, my mom, she's kind of girly. She would never let me pick up any kind of feathers. She's like, you'll get a disease, Nicole. Not true. She should see what I do now.
Why do all moms say that birds are instantly going to make you die? Like, my mom, if you touch a bird as a young girl, you're going to get sick, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know, but she never let me pick them up. But I pick them up if I'm in the woods.
Well, I don't. Anytime I've ever been on a hunt and someone has picked up a turkey feather with me, we've not killed a turkey. I will not pick them up. Because if you kill one, you're going to have all the feathers you want. So why are you going to pick up one? You must not be planning on killing one that day.
I just think they're pretty.
Oh, yeah, they are pretty. But
they're just pretty to look at.
I don't pick them up.
I don't usually ever take them. Usually they're all beat up.
Oh, I just don't want to touch them. I just can't stand that bad juju.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, also, before we hop off here, I need to add this note. I love that Nicole is also a hiking boot girly. Fabulous.
Yeah, even though they're not the most waterproof, both of our feet were soaked later this afternoon, but they were soaked, but they're a lot more comfier. I love them.
I'm a hiking boot girl to the day I die. I'd rather be wet in hiking boots than wear rubber boots, but yeah, that's another thing me and Nicole have in common. We're advocates for a very rare disease that we are yet to find a cure for. It's called stinky feet syndrome. Once you get them hiking boots wet and you walk around in them, bad deal.
We were like taking them off at the same time. Like, we got back to the cabin and we were both like, we're so sorry, like, to both of each other. Like, our feet stink.
Hey, you had to witness that.
It's okay, though. It's okay.
But we're fighting for the cure.
Exactly. I think we got our heads on straight. We got hiking boots. We got bottomland. We don't reap turkeys. We only hunt them in the springtime. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we are on the same wavelength.
Yeah, right track.
Let's check out the weather for tomorrow before we hop off here. We got to let everyone know.
Yeah, so this is the third day that we've been hunting in Illinois. And I kind of feel bad for Maggie. I'm like, I hyped up Illinois. I'm like, girl, like, we kill, like, you know, every time we go out, like, it'll be so easy. Like, you'll kill on the first day. Like, I was so confident because, you know, I'm really blessed that some of my family's property is just loaded with turkeys. Actually, should I say that?
You can say that. I mean,
y'all don't know where it's at. So, but no, they're loaded with turkeys, but they're just not wanting to play. I think it really is just the weather. So we're on the third. What is it? The third day?
Tomorrow will be the third.
Yeah.
The pressure's gonna be a little bit higher tomorrow. It's gonna be really high this weekend. It's gonna be time to kill one this weekend. Hopefully, I'll have killed though by then.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, pressure is, it's getting a little higher tomorrow than it was today.
It's going to happen tomorrow. I just got a feeling.
Yeah, the weather's going to be right. I'm feeling lucky.
You know what? It's hunting. That's what we keep saying.
Well,
it's hunting, not killing.
I had to explain to Nicole that, I never expect to show up to a new state and kill one on the first day. I mean, that's just lucky. It's great when it happens. It's always enjoyed, never expected. So, I mean, that's turkey hunting. Turkeys deserve to win. You know, we can't beat them every day. We shouldn't beat them every day.
Yeah. And quite honestly, if you're the type of person that you don't kill and that's the only thing you're focused on when you walk out of those woods, you're not a real hunter.
Hang it up.
Yep, you're not a real hunter, and you're not in it for the right reasons. There should be 1,000 things you're thankful for, and you shouldn't even think about not killing.
Yep, I agree. But it has been a fabulous podcast, Nicole.
Yeah.
I've had so much fun with you, and I'm ready to get some shut-eye so we can get all some turkeys in the morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being a fabulous guest, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you before I hop off of here?
Y'all can find me on Instagram. I'm most active on there, Facebook, and TikTok. Those are the platforms I have. And they should be all at Nicole A. Taylor 2004.
That's it, folks. You heard it here first. And I will see you very soon on the Maggie Williams podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give me a 5-star rating and review. Love ya. Bye.